You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
We are all family.
Today's show intro was OCM by Susan Aglukark.
Unceded Airwaves broadcasts every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Autumn Schnell Vilji, Chief Jim Cooey, Ejanik Cooey Shedeji. I am Treaty 11 Gwich'in and Inuvialuit on my mother's side. I was born and raised in Amaskwatchewiskaigan on Treaty 6 territory of the Cree, Métis, Nakota Sioux, and Soto peoples. I was lucky enough to live there for 17 years of my life, and I'm very grateful for that land, but I'm also very grateful for the land that we are currently on. So I acknowledge that I'm an uninvited guest on unceded Coast Salish lands, and I'm very, very grateful to be here. I've been here for about 6 months now, and I'm grateful every single day to put my feet on these lands. Mm. Do you want to introduce yourself, Ben?
Sure thing. My name is Ben Chung. I'm Jewish and Korean and grew up mostly on the Shawnee territories in the United States. And I, too, acknowledge I'm an uninvited guest on unceded Coast Salish territories.
Beautiful. So you're listening to Season 3, Episode 16 of Unceded Airwaves. We want to thank our sponsors, Decolonizing Water and NORAD Electric. Today, we will be talking about the Tina Fontaine verdict and Cormier acquittal. This might not be an easy topic for you to listen to if you're directly affected or if you're directly related to Treaty 1 territory, if you're Nehiyaw, or if you have any personal relations to any missing or murdered Indigenous women in Canada. We at Unceded Airwaves totally understand if you can't listen, although if you don't fit in that criteria, we really encourage you to keep listening. These are important things to talk about. But before we get into it, let's set our intention for the day. So we are the Indigenous Radio Collective. Every week we discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. We are a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use our weekly airtime for our own self-representation.
We strive to center Indigenous voices on our show and to build narratives that empower Indigenous peoples. Unceded Airwaves is our opportunity to share and define the diversity of our cultures and highlight some influential Indigenous people.
If you can relate to the goals of the show and are wondering how to get involved, please reach out. You can always reach us on our social media. We have Facebook and Twitter. If you have a voice for decolonization, then we want to hear from you.
Everyone is welcome, and there's no experience necessary. Our weekly meeting is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. at the CITR station in the lower level of the Nest. If you want to get involved, but you don't want to be on air, there are plenty of other ways to participate in this collective as well.
You can follow Unceded Airwaves on Facebook and Twitter. If you're aware of a great Indigenous artist, send us a tweet using the hashtag UncededMusic, or you can send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves, and we will do our best to get it on air. If we play a song that you send us, we'll even give you a shout-out.
And we're always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to. So let us know about any Indigenous artists that you're into right now and what events you're attending or promoting. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. We'll have our weekly Unceded Events listing to share a little later on the show as well.
Thank you. side. Proximity to the arts is cleansing for the soul.
If there's any lesson we can take from High School Musical, it's that the arts are a vital part of any community. Join the CATR Arts Collective to see movies, theater, dance, or live comedy shows and share your thoughts on air. The Arts Report airs every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Email volunteer@citr.ca to get involved. Tambor Concerts and CITR present pop singer-songwriter from Australia, Betty Hu, on tour to support her latest release, The Valley. Come out Wednesday, February 28th, to see Betty Hu with special guests at the Imperial in Vancouver. Get tickets and more information at timbreconcerts.com.
You're listening to Unseated Airwaves. The song you just heard was Baby Blue by Morning Coop. The time is 12 after 2 p.m. And a few of us from the Indigenous Collective spent some time on Saturday at the Tina Fontaine rally, and we recorded some speeches. Hear what the local activists had to say about the Cormier acquittal.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lorelei Williams, and I'm from Skati Nations on my mom's side, and Chehalis on my dad's side. I want to acknowledge the Coast Salish peoples for having me on their territory. I am here on behalf of the Missing and Murdered Women's Coalition. The Coalition on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls is comprised of family members and survivors and more than 40 entities, including Indigenous nations, Indigenous organizations, frontline service organizations, feminist and women's organizations, legal advocates, faith-based groups, and provincial organizations. The Coalition initially came together in 2012 in response to the Missing Women Commission of Inquiry in BC, overseen by Commissioner Wally Opal, and has grown since. I'm on this coalition because I have a missing aunt. And my cousin was murdered by serial killer Robert Picton. And I have so many family members who are survivors of violence. Pretty much everybody in my family. On behalf of the coalition, I would like to say, the Coalition weeps for Tina Fontaine. Members of the Coalition on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls are heartbroken and appalled that on February 22nd, 56-year-old Raymond Cormier was found not guilty in the murder of Tina Fontaine, a 15-year-old girl from Saging First Nation in Manitoba. Our hearts and prayers are with her loved ones at this time of pain and sorrow. Fontaine's murder sparked outrage and demands for a national inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls in Canada. On September 1st, 2016, a national inquiry into MMIWG, led by Chief Commissioner Marion Buller, began its work. The inquiry is mandated to inquire into and report on the systemic causes of all forms of violence, including sexual violence, against Indigenous women and girls in Canada. In the case of Tina Fontaine, the child welfare system, the police system, and the criminal justice system all failed her. Systemic racism, sexism, misogyny, and colonization are at the core of this tragedy.
Shame.
So far, the inquiry has held family and community hearings, gathering stories and statements that have been bravely shared by loved ones and survivors. Fontaine's story and all the stories share a common thread, the sincere wish that this never happened to another woman or girl again. What does justice mean if the same injustices carry on day after day, year after year? To work towards a systemic and societal change where Indigenous women and girls are valued, the inquiry and the federal government must do far more than hear stories and share the truth. Though those stories are foundations for change, comprehensive and in-depth hearings must be held to investigate the systems that repeatedly fail Indigenous women and girls. The police, child welfare services, schools, and healthcare services must be thoroughly cross-examined and analyzed. The inquiry has stated that these hearings will be held in parts 2 and 3 of this inquiry. Yet, with a mere 9 months until the final report is due, there is no sufficient time, nor has the inquiry demonstrated that it is capable of carrying out this demanding work. The calls of no justice, no peace are sounding as Indigenous people mourn yet another failing of this country and its cruel colonial systems. There must be accountability for these injustices. Thank you.
There's a reason why we've met here, specifically CBC. Many of us saw the headlines that they had decided to publish initially about Tina Fontaine.
Shame!
Shame is right. If you were not aware, the first thing they published was they said that they found drugs and alcohol in her system. Nothing about the fact that the murderer admitted to killing her. His blanket was wrapped around her. Nothing about that. It was about how she had drugs and alcohol in the system. Nothing about the fact that social workers left her in a hotel alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not just the justice system's problem. This is the youth in care problem. This is the colonial constructs that have been built to destroy indigeneity. This isn't just one thing. So we choose to stand here. We choose to participate here. I'm going to be calling upon Siam.
Hi, my name is Siam, and I'm going to introduce my mother as well. This is Quetzaltatl. Now Aislael, Quetzaltatl, Telsqui. Lichuhueya, how are you doing? I am Stalo, one of the 54 tribes that make up the Coast Salish. You're on our land. And I just want you to know that we still have the land question to deal with all over North America.
Yeah.
come out. So thank you for sharing in that beautiful tribal and hereditary song. I just need to say that I do through my mother's mother, Annie Tom. She was also from Tsleil-Waututh territory, so that song does come into my blood that way. I just also want to know before we close, after Siam's speech, that I will do a closing song to her speech and speak up.
Hey, I wanted to start with a new Tonga song because that's something that really means a lot to me, but again, that song was really great and I'm happy that you did that. I want to start out by saying thank you everybody who showed up today. That really means a lot to me. Right now, these times are very scary. As an Indigenous woman, I walk around in fear. This city is not friendly to me, and it is not friendly to my sisters right now. We don't know what's going to happen. We never know what is going to happen. I always feel hunted here. I always feel like I'm in danger. I always feel like those police that are standing around us are not on my side. I do not like that feeling. It's scary. I don't want to be here, and I never want to keep making these speeches. I don't like coming to these events because it means that another person has gone missing, another woman has been brutalized, and another one of my family members is not coming home. That's scary, and this has been going on for a very long time, since Canada became a country. We didn't ask this to happen to us. It's something that was put in our lap. I don't like being here. I don't like calling this place home. It's not Canada to me. It is a made-up word to me. Since the beginning, when those ships started arriving, our women started going missing. And it's important to recognize that it's continuing to happen and that we all need to take responsibility and do something about it. Everybody that showed up here, thank you for doing that. That's great. You know, you all look very cozy and you could be doing other things, but you showed up here, so thank you. But now I want you to do more. Start asking questions. Start wondering where the women are going. Start looking for us. Join me on Hastings when I go looking for my sister. I don't want to do that alone, and I don't think the cops are going to help. So you all have a bunch of time on your hands. I'm sure you have weekends. That's great. Show up with us. Come looking. Ask questions. You have Indigenous women around you. Just ask them questions. Say, hey, I know you have a daughter. Do you know where she is right now? I know you have cousins. Like, I know you have a mom. Where is she right now? Because that's what I do on my weekends. I wonder where my family is. I don't want to keep doing that. It's scary. I think that we all need to realize that there's a direct correlation between how this land has been treated and how our bodies, our Indigenous female bodies, are treated. People take from our land, they don't ask permission. They take from our bodies and they don't ask permission. Right now, we have a pipeline underway. Justin Trudeau has promised that will be going through.
It will not!
It will never! Not.
Now, with these pipelines, I don't know if everybody knows this, but man camps get built in the pathway. And Kanahu's Manuel is the person that first brought it up to me and educated me on just how dangerous these man camps really are. Transient men moving into our sacred territory to build a pipeline in our grounds. It's scary. We don't know what to do. They don't have the connection we have to that land. And because they don't have that connection, they don't care about what they do to it. And they bring drugs, and they bring alcohol, and they bring violence. And our women, they go missing. And our children, they go missing. What happens? I need somebody to ask. I need someone to do something because I don't know what to do. Right now, what I do with my time is I go to those communities and I ask questions. Hey, do you know what's gonna happen when these thousands of men come into your territory? Do you know what you're gonna do? Like,
We need to plan. We need to safety plan because our women are going to keep going missing. I need somebody to do something right now. This is a plea. This is me asking for help. And if you don't know what to do, if you don't know what you can do to help, send Kanahu some money because she's doing good work on the land. Stopping our women from going missing. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate your time. And I really hope to keep seeing these kinds of gatherings and keep seeing people gather together when these things happen. But again, like I said, send Kanahu some money because she's going to keep us from going missing.
Intertribal. I want all of us to recognize our overlapping territories. One Mother Earth, one Father Sky, one Grandmother Moon, one Grandfather Sun makes us all siblings.
There are a lot of allies in this audience, and that is important to us. We need allyship. We need allyship. That is something so important to us, and I am so grateful, and I raise my hands up to the allies here. I acknowledge that the work that is being done with you as well. The next speaker on this list is an ally, Cicely Bell.
Hi, my name is Cicely Bell. My family is of the indigenous Wolof tribe of Gambia, West Africa, and I'm grateful to be living here as a settler on Coast Salish lands. And I'm really grateful to have been asked here today by my indigenous friends and community members. It really is an honor to be asked to share some words and talk about some of the commonalities that exist between our communities. I am grateful to live on this land, but I wish I could be living on the land of my own ancestors, but that is what they do to us. They rob and they steal and they murder and they spill our blood on our own land. As Black Lives Matter, it is our honor and our privilege to stand in solidarity and our duty to work with Indigenous communities. Oftentimes people ask, who has it worse, Black or Indigenous people? But you know what this is? This is white supremacy trying to create a wedge between our communities. The very idea of the question acknowledges the way that our communities have been systematically and institutionally robbed, pillaged, enslaved, and colonized by white people. This question serves to position whiteness between us, to place a wedge where we must instead connect and build and foster community together. I feel instead there is an innate sense of connection and commonality between our communities. Through intergenerational trauma and hardship, we find ourselves here now experiencing hand-me-down pain of our ancestors. Yet also their resilience, their power, and their love burns within us like nothing else. It gives us strength on days like today. I once wrote a poem that asked, do Black mothers have sons knowing they will bury them? Do you plan a baby's funeral at the announcement of its birth? Does a gender reveal determine the color of your mourning? I cried writing it, thinking about the pain and the injustice. I felt the same hearing of Tina Fontaine's story and of those countless other missing and murdered Indigenous women across colonially named Canada. How do you raise and support children in a world where their survival is at the hands of the unforgiving, uncaring, and violent white men? Ask yourself, what really is the difference between Cormier and Trudeau? They describe Tina as an at-risk youth. They never say it is colonialism, racism, anti-indigeneity, misogyny, classism, and failing systems that kids like Tina are at risk of. Instead, they place the blame on communities that have been violently stripped of self-determination, of human rights, and of justice.
Shame!
They take our children and then tell us we didn't raise them right.
Shame!
When really, with the strength and power of our ancestors, the courage and bravery of our warriors, and the love and kindness of our mothers, we gave them everything that the systems failed to. White parents wake up in the morning needing only to ensure that the crusts have been cut off their kids' peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But Black and Indigenous parents must actively and consistently build protective walls around their children. Make sure they don't talk to cops, or wear hoodies to the mall, or play with toy guns in parks, or trespass on farmland, or hang out in groups, or drive, or dance, or walk, or shop. It's not the families of Tina, or Colton, or Tamir, or Trayvon that didn't build good enough walls. It's that systems of oppression, of violence, of colonialism, aka the government, were created in the exact way that white men have bulldozers stronger than any brick and mortar we will ever be able to afford. This is the injustice on colonial land. Thank you.
And the next speaker I'm about to introduce is Kanahus Manuel. She's a badass warrior activist.
I want to say to Canada that we're done with you. Like my sister there on Vancouver Island, when Trudeau went to the town hall meeting, to those women that were violated by Canada right in front of the Prime Minister's eyes, to the auntie that turned her back to Canada and turned her face to the people. That was a very powerful symbol for us women. That now, as the mothers of our nations and the grandmothers of our nations, our Indigenous nations, our collective Indigenous nations, to turn our back on the system and build something way more beautiful that Canada has ever had. Hudson Bay Company. They came without their wives. They came and they took our children as their wives. And you can see that documented proudly in Canadian history. Go look at the Wikipedia, go look at it on the internet. You'll see the formation of Canada, the Hudson Bay Company, how they took wives, Indigenous women, girls as young as 12, documented proudly in Canadian history. That is a shame. My daughter is 12 years old. How dare Canada? That's what they think about my daughter, about your daughter, about us. But we're not going to stand by. Canada, 150 years, we're done with you. As Indigenous people, before Canada set foot on our lands, we had technology so advanced that we never destroyed our lands. We never contaminated our water, our wombs, our babies. We protected them with everything. Our whole society, our whole culture was surrounded around our children. They could not penetrate into that circle of protection that we had around our children. But with Canada, we've seen a lot of things changed. And like my sister said, my sisters are saying, there's a direct relationship and relation towards the violence against our land and the violence against our women. When our women cannot walk safely down the street, but another woman of another race may be able to. When I walk down the streets, I have vehicles pulling over to think I'm a prostitute because of the color of my skin. And because the straightness of the hair and the beauty of my body. But that's not for them. That's for the power of us as life givers. We are doing as much as we can as the women of our nations, but we can't do it alone. We know that it's the men by our sides, our fathers and our brothers and our uncles, our cousins and our men relatives. We need our uncles, we need our brothers, we need all of them by our side. It's going to take together the male and the female energy that's going to be able to protect our nations, our families. We need to surround our children and not let them damage or control or manipulate or disappear or murder or rape any of our nation. It's not just the women and the girls now, and we know that. It's also the boys and the men that are disappearing and getting murdered just as much. Now we're not, no one's excused from being a target. We all have that target on our back. And it's going to be us standing up by any means to defend our lands against Kinder Morgan, against Imperial Metals, protecting our women, training and building our minds and our bodies to be a powerful force. When you're standing for the freedom and the liberation, we're in solidarity with everybody from the fish farms to the murdered or missing Indigenous women, the fentanyl crisis, the suicide. All of these are connected. This is all of our movement. We don't separate these movements and these struggles, they're one. So I stand in solidarity with you all in Kukchang, Kukchang. From the Suquamish women, warriors. Yeah.
Mint Records and CITR and Discorder present Edmonton's indie psych favorite, Faith Healer. It's their first time in Vancouver, so let's show some Van City love on Saturday, March 3rd at the Astoria, with special guests, local fuzz poppers Supermoon and Ellen Noon from Victoria. Allow me to tell you about Unceded Airways.
What's that?
Isn't that some kind of indigenous radio show?
It sure is. Tell me, are you down for decolonization? Yeah. What?
I certainly wish I could hear about indigenous issues, people, and events on the radio.
You're in luck, because Unceded Airwaves talks about all these things and more every Monday morning at 11.
Music from indigenous artists and coverage of all the hot happenings in indigenous art and entertainment.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Oh, wow. And they broadcast all this from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people?
Find out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Monday mornings at 11. Yeah. Or find episodes online at citr.ca.
Today we're joined in the studio by the Cedar Program Youth.
Where you at?
Take a deep breath and you walk through the doors. It's the morning of your very first day. You say hi to your friends you ain't seen in a while. Try and stay out of everybody's way. It's your freshman year and you're gonna be here for the next 4 years in this town. Hoping one of those senior boys will wink at you and say, you know I haven't seen you around before. 'Cause when you're 15, somebody tells you they love you, you're gonna believe them. And when you're 15, feeling like there's nothing to figure out, but count to 10 and take it in. This is life before you know who you're gonna be. 15. You sit in class next to a redhead and Abigail. Soon enough, your best friends laughing at the other girls who think they're so cool. We'll be out of here as soon as we can. And then you're on your very first date and he's got a car and you're feeling like flying. And your mom is waiting. We both
You're listening to Unseated Airwaves. The time is 2:48, and the song you just heard was 15 by Taylor Swift. Now that we've spent some airtime devoted to our local community members and have heard what they had to say, we have a volunteer who wrote a poem about this event and about the current news happening. So, Clara, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Clara Salter, and I am a settler from English, Irish, and Scottish ancestry. I'm from the MacLeod and the Mackay clan, and I grew up in Okanagan Territory, but have been very fortunate to spend the past 5 years as an uninvited guest on Coast Salish territory.
Beautiful. And then do you want to explain why we were just playing 15 by Taylor Swift on Unseated Airwaves?
Of course. So you're listening to Taylor Swift, not because I am a crazy Taylor Swift fangirl, but because of this post that I read by our Indigenous Collective member, Carly Baker, about Tina Fontaine. And it started by stating the fact that Tina Fontaine was 15 years old. And that really struck a chord with me and reminded me of this song by Taylor Swift, which tells the story of what a 15-year-old girl's life is supposed to be like in high school, this boy drama that she's having. And I wanted to juxtapose this with what happened to Tina Fontaine when she was 15 years old. And so in this poem I wrote, I've kind of remixed some of Taylor Swift's lyrics and twisted them and hopefully subverted that to show the disparity between what an Indigenous girl and like Tina Fontaine and many other Indigenous youth face as their children. And what this pop culture picture is of what a 15-year-old girl's life is supposed to be like.
Great. Do you want to read it?
I would love to, yeah. So it is called 15 Going on 150. When you're 15 and murder runs in your family, you're going to run away from the state of things that said, we have to take you to help you, when your auntie asked for grief counseling. A half-written victim impact statement ends in a busy tone at Child and Family Services and a belated missing persons report. Your auntie's waiting up for 3 weeks when they've got you in a hotel room in Portage. Neither here nor there, between two bodies. A vessel to be moved around by the state of things. But you were full of plans to help babies even while you were one. Even while their promises were empty. A ward of the child unwelfare system at the Best Western Slaughterhouse Hotel. You'll be out of here as soon as we can, ward off responsibility, after 150 years. All you wanted was to be wanted. When you're 15, try to stay out of everybody's way at Portage in Maine. He's got a bike and you feel like crying when he winked at you and said, you know, I haven't seen you around before. Don't forget to look before you fall off their radar when the night ends. When the night ends, wrapped in a duvet at 15, do they know how many white people's brown blankets have made your rivers red? 25 pounds and 150 years of stones to sink 76 pounds of human girl. Cause of death, colonialism. Do they care that these are not your people's blankets, which cover you now, stained with strawberries? Back in power view, Thelma pleads that you will open everybody's eyes. She is tired of saying goodbye. She says, keep going. In your life, you'll do things, even though you didn't know it at 50.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Clara.
My pleasure.
Thank you for taking Carly's advice. We really support all settlers who are listening to us to do that. Actually, more than encourage. We expect you to do that. It's an expectation now. So thank you for being an example of that. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you to all of the people who made it out to the marches across Turtle Island, and especially to all the people who took time out of their day to make speeches about this important topic, despite being exhausted from all of the recent happenings. Thank you to the collective members who took the time in the past 3 weeks to talk about dead Indigenous people, because the best Indian is the dead Indian, I guess. And then these topics require lots of emotional labor on our behalf, so I want to thank everybody who talked in our discussions in the past several weeks. We would also like to thank Decolonizing Water and NORAD Electric. The next show that you'll hear is Cue It Up. My name is Autumn Schnell, and you're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.
Dirt road, open windows, beautiful one, too perfect for this world. The immediacy of mosquitoes, humidity choking breath. My beautiful singing bird. 5-year-old Gichinakwe, crying silent, petrified tears in the back seat until the dam finally bursts. You are the breath over the ice on the lake. You are the one the grandmothers sing to through the rapids. You are the saved seeds of allies. You are the space between embraces. She's always gonna remember this. You are rebellion, resistance, reimagination. Her body will remember. You are dug up roads, 27 day standoffs, the foil of industry prospectors. She can't speak about it for a year, which is 1/6 of her life. For every one of your questions, there's a story hidden in the skin of the forest. Use them as flint, fodder, love songs, medicine. You are from a place of unflinching power, the holder of our stories, the one who speaks up. The chants for spoken up words drowned in ambush. You are not a vessel for white settler shame, even if I am the housing that failed you.